listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Give me the fortune, keep the fame, said my man Lewis. I agree, know what I mean, because he led the truest lie. I asked him why we follow the law of the bluest eye. He looked at me, he thought about it, was like I'm clueless, why? The question was rhetorical, the answer is horrible. Our morals are out of place and got our lives full of sorrow, so tomorrow coming later than usual. Waiting on someone to pity us, while we find the beauty in the hideous. They say money's the root of all evil, but I can't tell, you know what I mean? Pesos, francs, yens, crabby shells, dollar bills. Or is it the mind state that's ill, creating crime rates that fill the new prisons they build? Over money and religion, there's more blood to spill. The wounds of slaves, cotton fields are never healed. What's the deal? A lot of cats who buy my records are straight broke. But my language universal, they be reciting my quotes while R&B singers hit bad notes. We rock the boat, a thought that my man Lewis' statements just provoked. Caught up in conversations in our personal worth. Brought up through endangered species status on the planet Earth. Survival tactics mean busting gats to prove you hard. Your firearms are too short to box with God. Without faith, all of that is illusionary. Raise my son with no vindication of manhood necessary. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Wednesday, ready to close out the week.
Yes, sir.
You know, thank you everybody who listens. Don't forget, New Year's, new you. 5-star reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Been listening all week, getting towards the end of the week. You can leave your reviews. They should show up by Saturday. We should see them. We should be able to read them on Saturday morning when we do our feedback show.
Come on.
We would love for y'all to keep that energy. Y'all have been doing so good this year of people that, you know, and it's, and the other reason I like 5-star reviews is cause, and they don't have to be long, but some of y'all will write in and y'all will give like the whole origin story. Like how you heard of our show.
Right.
What you like about our show. Who, you know, who put you on to the show, or how you put yourself on, or, you know, the beautiful bonds and stuff that are created between, like, you know, friends and family and stuff. I love hearing about people that, like, hey, my friend put me onto this. My coworker told me about
this. Yeah, we've heard stories. I remember, shout out to somebody was like, they got it from a stolen phone. Shout out to you.
Yeah, my boyfriend put me on this. My girlfriend put me onto this. They might not even be my boyfriend or girlfriend no more, but I'm still fucking with y'all.
Right.
You know, so I hope.
We decided to split the baby. That's you.
Yeah, I hope you guys continue to write in because it really does boost our spirits and let us know what we're doing is cool.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I'm gonna be real, better than a mention in the New York Times. Not that anything's wrong with a mention in the New York Times, but it's better to me to know that y'all care so much.
Mm-hmm. Keep them New Year's resolution going. I know some of y'all be like, the new year, I'm gonna leave my 5-star. You got the whole year.
Mm-hmm. So the official weapon is
the taser.
Unofficial sport.
Bullet ball.
Bullet ball extreme. Guys, I cut my finger the other day chopping carrots. And I was doubly mad because one, HelloFresh. You know, I do the meal box, guys. I love HelloFresh.
Yes.
I make them for lunch sometimes, dinner, you know, stuff like that. And I'm, you know, I'm getting pretty good, you know, with it. And
oh, you're very good at it.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And the thing is though, you have to pick your meals out
right
by a deadline, or you have to skip that week, or they just send you the default meals that they send
generic.
And the default meals, while they can be delicious, they are normally not the kind of meals I like to eat. I like to experiment. I like to try something a little different, you know. I like to like, for example, I've been trying to eat more vegetable base meals, more plant-based meals. And so with the plant-based meals specifically, they don't opt those in. You have to pick them,
right?
And they have a wide selection. Like every week you get like, I don't know, 12 different meals you can pick from. I mean, we get 3, you know, a week. That's pretty good. And, so I forgot, or something happened and I didn't get to pick my meal, so I got the regular, like regular degular, what they send everybody else.
Right. And they have been good, but I was like, ooh, Roger wouldn't have picked these at all. Like, yeah. I could just tell. I was reading. I was like, he wouldn't have picked these. And not trying to be funny, they give you the generic, oh, we want to be sure everything is safe meal. Like, if you're not venturous at all, here's the meals for you.
Well, like today, it was honey chicken. Wait, sweetest honey chicken. over jasmine rice
mm-hmm.
with green beans.
Mm-hmm. The chicken was delicious.
I hate green beans.
Right. Now see, now so I know he ain't picked this because he don't do the green
beans. It's my least favorite of the beans.
He don't do them at all.
So, you know, I made them. I had to spruce them up a little bit because they was just like, that part of the directions was real easy. It was like, yeah, just microwave them in a bag for 3 to 4 minutes. No, 2 to 4 minutes. And then put them in like a bowl and then mix them with salt, pepper.
They be plain Jane, man. Yeah. Like the way they do, I mean, cause this is a lot of delicious ways to make green beans, but the way they do it not to me. So basic.
Yeah, I don't like green beans in any
way. Oh, yeah, yeah. You don't like them at all.
It's just not my thing. Yeah, I don't know if it's a texture thing or what.
Yeah, it might be.
I can't do it. But I tried to spruce it up. I put like a little butter on them and then I put some salt, pepper and garlic, the smoky garlic that I got and some other stuff. It don't matter. The other day they had one that was mama's meatloaf. Now it's not that I wouldn't have made I think meatloaf is such a basic meal, but you know, obviously they're gonna spruce it up.
Mm-hmm.
And that one turned out pretty good, but they had these carrots in there, right? You got, it's called roasted root vegetables, right? Basically you take some potatoes, make them like, cut them down to french fries, and then you take some carrots and you take these carrots and you chop them in half.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just put a little olive oil on them, salt, pepper, whatever spices, then you bake them. And the carrots were cool because I didn't know this, but the carrots apparently as you bake them get sweet.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I love roasted carrots. Yes, sir.
So when by the time I served it, the carrots actually were pretty delicious.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is I would have never ordered a meal where I had to chop carrots in half just in general. And when I say my new knife works, guys, oh, it works. Because I accidentally cut my finger cutting those carrots.
Ooh.
No blood got on anything. I cleaned myself. Like, you know, I became an adult. You have to talk to yourself in an adult voice.
Yes, you do.
It's like, Roderick, you're going to be okay.
Don't panic.
You're not dying. It's just your finger.
Yes.
Now we're gonna calm down. We're gonna calmly take a look at it. Okay, I know it hurts. We're gonna see how bad it is, if you need to go to the hospital or anything. And look down and I was like, okay, you just barely cut it. You just cut it a little bit. Deeper than a paper cut. Gonna take a few days to heal. That's fine. Where's the first aid kit? Gotta get the first aid kit. And I like did all the stuff and tape my finger up and finish cutting the carrots and all the stuff. I realized afterwards, like, I should have cut the carrots differently. It was my fault, really.
Okay.
Not that they shouldn't have got cut in half, but I should have used a different technique than what I was using.
Oh, okay. Anyway. What were you doing?
So I was taking a knife and having it over top like that, long ways.
Cutting into it.
Yeah, yeah, and then putting my hand down here to, like, hold it. Mm-hmm. It was just a mistake.
Carrots
and
roll.
So it slipped off of one of the carrots and just right into my fingertip. And I was like, oh, stupid. I knew it was stupid immediately.
Carrots roll, my friend.
But then after that, I realized what I should have done afterwards was I should have just took a serrated knife and just cut it like that. It would have just been easier rather than worry about rolling it, because I needed to cut it long ways. So it wasn't like you can chop, like the way that the recipe was, I didn't want to chop it a different way and fuck up the baking instructions and you chopped it into two smaller pieces.
Okay.
And shit. So
yes.
You know, I wanted to cut it long ways. I just should have used I was just stupid. It just should have used a different knife.
A
I have all those fucking knives over there. But I was trying to use my chef knife. I was being fancy.
Did you have your hat on too?
No. But let me tell you something, guys. Oh, my chef knife did come with a chef hat. That is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But after chopping those carrots up and cutting my finger, I gotta say, y'all vegans, y'all can have it. Y'all got it. Okay.
Yeah, cutting fresh vegetables ain't no joke. I've learned the round ones roll and move. They'll fuck you up, so I've learned the hard way.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, this is the first time I really cut myself since I started cooking, but it was just such a... I just hate when I make a mistake on something that I could have, like, oh yeah, I should have known that. That was stupid. But I would have never even ordered the fucking carrots, is my point.
Yeah, we could have used that dicer thing we got in there.
Dicer thing?
Oh.
For the carrots?
Yeah, it don't slice like that.
No.
Oh.
What dicer thing are you talking about?
The one that you can go up and down with?
Oh, the slice, yeah, it doesn't work that way for carrots.
Okay.
No. But, yeah, anyway, it's just a lesson learned, it's fine. And then the other part of it is it hurt, you know, and I don't know if there's any human being that's ever been in worse pain than me cutting my finger like that. Like, honestly, I wouldn't wish that amount of pain on anybody. It's the worst pain in the world. Like, I don't think there's a pain worse than cutting your finger while trying to chop a carrot. Like, yeah. Think about it.
And the thing is,
childbirth, maybe. Like, I might put that up there, but in general, nah, that's it. That's the list. Someone said kidney stones, that was cute, but no, it's definitely cutting your finger cutting carrots. The rest, man, I pray y'all never know real pain like that.
Oh Lord. Nothing close to it. I'm about to say, I got some random thoughts too after you finish.
Go ahead, that was it.
Oh, I am officially in the age to where you talk to like your like your nieces and nephews, well actually my niece, I'm talking about me, and you say something and they go, what's that? And then you realize, oh, I'm in the age of you never lived to experience any of this that I'm talking about, so now I have to explain it to you, which is fine. But it's just funny because now I'm like, oh yeah, I am in the age where when my mom and them used to talk about 8-tracks and LPs, only reason why I knew what they were because my mom and them had them around the house, but you know, it would be certain things they say and I'd be like, what the hell is that? And they'd be looking, boy, you don't know nothing about this. I ain't got to the age where I'd be like, you don't know nothing about that, and crank up the music and act like they stupid. I haven't got to that age yet. You know, I hope and pray I never get to that age. Boy, what you know about that Kendrick Lamar? Hey, you know, I'm not quite there, right. You know, but I don't mind explaining stuff, to her. And, we was talking about the internet and, I was telling her how the internet used to actually call like a telephone and how it used to like actually dial and you could like hear it dial and you could actually hear it like pressing numbers go do 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 and I was just going through the notes of her. She was laughing and stuff and I was like, oh yeah, I'm old. I was like yeah we had to use a disc, you know, a disc, AOL disc and stuff like that. And it was just hilarious just going back and forth with her because she was looking like, mm-mm. It was one of those things where everything been fast in my life, like all my life been fast. Like I was like, oh okay, I've been in the slow lane, my bad. And then I started talking about myself. Because we were talking about hair and your mama and Layla was, you know, they was doing my hair and they was combing it out. Most of the time because of shrinkage, my hair is like tight to my head. So nobody in my like immediate family, you know, some of my cousins, but like my aunts and stuff like that, none of them have natural hair. So my mama, she was like, your hair not that long. I said, mama, my hair is actually real long. I actually got a handful of hair and I basically took a whole chunk and strung it out like really long. And she was like, oh, it's long. I say, yes, I say shrinkage. I see most time it's drawn to my head. So most of the time, unless I puff it out in a fro or use puffs or something like that, my hair really doesn't look that long. And I was telling Layla how the longest my hair had ever been was when I had a Jerry curl, and it was like to my shoulders because my hair is 4C. It's really, really curly. And when you got a Jerry curl is actually curly. And she said, what's a Jerry curl? And I busted out laughing because I was like, oh yeah, you of the age that nobody has a Jerry curl. You know, you 65 and up, about the only people nowadays that actually do Jerry curls. So, you know, so I had explained to her, I said, yeah, it's just like a, because she knows the perm is, because she's natural though. But I was like, yeah, it's just like a perm itself makes your hair curl. And she was like, oh, okay. And so it was just funny coming to the realization that you are in the age where you're officially old and the shit that you liked, a lot of the shit that you love and grew up with is non-existent or it's repeating, you know, because now everybody's in the phase where everything is 80s. Like literally they're going back to glow sticks. They're going back looking like Jam and the Holograms. They're going back looking like Madonna, you know? So it's just been an experience basically watching your childhood be the cool shit. You know, and it's actually been a really, really, fun experience watching the kids take some of the things we grew up with and put their own twist on it and shit like that. You know, breakdancing has always been around, but you know, because breakdancing was '80s, you know, kids are really starting to get back into, you know, breakdancing and things. You see more of those videos online. So it's just been a fun experience watching your kind of your childhood go on to the next generation. Just like, you know, with us, we was, you know, into the '60s and the '70s shit. You know, our parents grew up with that type of things. So it's just been a fun experience. I'm pretty sure I'll probably say something else and she'd be like, what's that? And I'll explain it to her, but it's just been a fun ride.
Cool. Now I definitely understand. I talk to kids at the Y and stuff sometimes, and they're younger, you know, especially if you talk sports. You know, it's like that age that, like, honestly, what's funny is a lot of these kids don't remember or know or haven't seen him live, Michael Jordan.
Right.
You know, and that's everybody's biggest, you know, at our age group, biggest influence on basketball, biggest star in basketball history. And
correct,
you know, a lot of our generation has an attachment to him that's almost infantile, like it's like you would with a father figure or something in basketball, where no one can be better. And you know, meanwhile, if we're being honest, by different parameters, they're better basketball players. It just depends on what you believe. Like,
right,
he didn't end with number one in every record. He didn't end with the most championships. Mm-hmm. He didn't end, like, but our minds formulated around him to make what his path was the most unattainable, unreachable goal, right? Like, we decided that going to six NBA finals and winning them all is bigger than Bill Russell's 11 rings. We decided that it's bigger than you know, LeBron James going to even more finals, but he lost some. We just decided like these arbitrary like determinations of this is what makes somebody great, and we do all this revisionist history, right? Scottie Pippen's not, if you listen to Michael Jordan fans, Scottie Pippen might as well just be anybody. Like, he's just like, he wasn't a top 50 player. Why are we even talking about him, right? And it's been interesting to be alive for that, because mm-hmm. you know, before I remember, I'm old enough to remember when Michael hadn't won those titles, and I was a big correct. fan, and I was like, he's gonna win championships, he's so good. And you know, older heads was like, oh, he ain't that good, he ain't number Dr. J, you know, he wasn't even better than, and they just named like all these, you know, Oscar Robertson would be doing this, and that was their Jordans,
right,
you know? So
right.
Now kids are, you know, these kids now, they're like, they were old enough to normally see like Kobe.
Yep, they LeBron.
Were obviously LeBron now, but you know, a lot of them is like, they stop at, no, Kobe's the greatest,
right?
You know, and I like, oh, if you can't do it like Kobe, you ain't good, you know. So it's just it's interesting how it runs in cycles like that.
Yeah, and also I know for me, before the Bob not the Bobcat, well, the Bobcat / Hornets was here, I used to love Chicago Bulls. Like, I was like a big Chicago Bulls fan. I even had, you, I don't know if you remember this, the old school posters that they used to pick, where they would have them like, each one of them be like in their shots, like one be dribbling the ball, one be shooting the ball, mm-hmm. and then it would kind of be all around. The one of the old schools, I had a poster like that. I used to do basketball trading cards. Mm-hmm. I knew like everybody on the team and kept up with the trades. This is when I was a child, right. Kept up with the trades and stuff like that, because I was just, because the Bulls was the best, and this is when the Chicago Channel was the Chicago Channel. And so now when you go Chicago,
WGN.
Yeah, WGN. And so now I used to get confused the way they call the Chicago Channel now, because I was like, that's not the Chicago Channel. Mm-hmm. Because,
what do you mean?
Because
WGN still exists.
Yes, it still exists, but I used to consider it always just the Bulls or the Cubs channel. Like, I always associated with sports. I don't know if that makes sense.
Nah, that makes sense. But yeah, they show more than just sports. But
right,
yeah. But I used to watch the Chicago White Sox. That was my team when I used to like baseball, and yeah, I used to watch the Chicago Bulls because it was just like, you could always count on them having every game, and we got it in Charlotte for some reason. So I was like, oh, I'm a Bulls fan. Mm-hmm. And then we got the Hornets. I was like, oh, fuck them. Like, we got our own shit, you know, got to support these guys.
Correct. And that's how it was for me. So it was just a fun, just when you was talking, just going down memory lane of, like you say, it's a generational thing, because like you say, you have a Kobe generation, and then you have another generation, which is like the LeBron James generation.
Yeah. But it's just interesting because, like I said, there's a threshold now where the kids haven't seen Michael Jordan play.
Yes, only tapes and videos.
Yeah, so they haven't seen him play. So it's, so even, you know, they might have seen a YouTube clip or something, mm-hmm. or they just heard enough people talking about it, but it's a different gap for them as opposed to, you know, used to be in a basketball discussion. Of course, everyone talking had seen Michael Jordan play. How could you not have? Now I'm at a generation where I'm like, man, Jordan was good. He was just that. And because I'm not a huge Jordan stan where I'm like, he would have did, he would have won the game no matter what. Like, I'm not, like, I'm like, nah, he was like, he was great. And also it was possible to beat him because I saw it happen. So I'm not going to sit up here and pretend like nobody could beat him. Like, no, he could lose. And same way LeBron can lose, Kobe can lose, Shaq can lose. Like every great NBA player, other than probably Bill Russell, and Bill probably, I think Bill might have lost to Wilt once. Anyway, but even like everybody going to take a L at some point. It's what you do after that that makes you great or not. But yeah, it's just kind of a, kind of a good discussion. Let's get into some,
yeah, because you think about how many years he's retired. Like, he's been retired a hot minute. Like, us old heads forget that. Yeah, like you said, it's a whole generation, they weren't even born.
Yeah,
so you're like,
yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, at the basketball court, you're just talking to people and they're like, you're like, yeah, man, it's like, you know how Michael used. And see, the other part, the reason it comes up with me is because I can bring up the stuff Jordan didn't do as well. And that's the stuff that you had to be there for.
Correct.
Like, older heads might remember it, even if they trying to be in denial about it. I can be like, well, he did used to lose to the Pistons. But, you know, I'm like, Isaiah, and they wasn't no just pushover team. Mm-hmm. Like, it took, they had to be climb that hill.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the young cats are like, what? He lost? Cause they've never heard.
Right.
They've only heard to the young kids, they think he played 15 years and had 15 championships.
Won all the 82 games every year.
So anyway, all right, let's get into the news. One of my worst nightmare happened to some people, okay, to a woman.
Finally, if you are one of those people who doesn't turn on the light when you get up to use the bathroom in the middle of the night,
I do.
This next story might change things for you. This is Mary Richards from Queensland, Australia. Last week, she walked into her dark bathroom and sat down on the toilet. Seconds later, this happened.
I felt this sharp tap on my bottom along with some pain.
Oh, no, her bottom.
A sharp tap on the bottom, if you didn't make that out. It turns out that sharp tap was actually a bite from a python that had been curled up in the toilet bowl. After recovering from the shock, Richards shut the lid and called in professional snake handlers. Unbelievably, they told her that it's not uncommon for snakes to sneak into people's toilets down under. However, they admitted it was rare that one actually bit a sitting human, saying the python was likely more frightened than Richards was.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Come on, yeah. I don't know about that either.
I don't know about that myself, love my friend. You gotta be careful out here. These motherfucking snakes.
You and Chris. Somebody need to give you and Chris some money so y'all can make y'all movie.
These toilet snakes, man. Watch your back. You never know what the fuck is happening, all right?
Thinking about it, you be safe, Wonga. Because I tell you, right?
The Australian's tough, man. This is a very dangerous situation. Experts sounded alarm on measles.
Don't get me started on that.
That's right, y'all. Measles is back. Did you miss me? Measles, y'all.
Some shit they fucking eradicated because he's... I ain't gonna get mad because it makes me fucking mad. These dumbass parents who are vaccinated. The parents are vaccinated now. You are vaccinated. Your child, you go... You're not getting vaccinated. Ain't nobody getting sick. They're not getting sick because motherfuckers are getting their goddamn shots. That's why people are not getting sick. And I read an article about a woman that was against vaccination. Her child caught the whooping cough, one of them. Mm-hmm. And she was like, they're going to get vaccinated. I was like, bitch, yeah, okay, you care because it's your child, right?
Right.
And you had that expensive ass medical bill that you could have avoided versus go ahead and get your child a shot.
After having practically eradicated measles from the United States almost two decades ago, a growing anti-vaccination movement has led to the resurgence of cases currently focused in the Pacific Northwest and New York. where the liberal white people are. California can't be far behind. Why? It matters. Unless doctors and the public step up to counteract the vocal opposition of vaccines with evidence-based facts, there's a serious concern that infectious diseases like measles could return full force, public health officials and scientists tell Axios.
Right, measles, polios, shit that people would fucking die from years ago. We've literally eradicated it, like really, really small. And you know what? There is a population of people, because of allergic reactions or whatever, they can't get vaccinated. And then when you don't get vaccinations, you have older people that get sick. You have children that can't get shots yet get sick. And the thing is, do people not know how diseases work? They evolve. So you have people out here who actually got shots that could actually get sick because there's been a evolution of it, because viruses will adapt to the surrounding environment. And they'll be like, oh, you know what? Nah, next thing you know, everything we have, nothing work against it.
Yeah. And then the herd immunity for people that can't get vaccinated. Well, if you can't get vaccinated because of whatever, you may have an autoimmune deficiency situation. You can have a bunch of stuff that for reasons that people are like, I can't get my child vaccinated. Well, that's why everyone who can have a child, who can get vaccinated, needs to vaccinate their children, because those children will not be susceptible if most of the people around them are already inoculated. Guess what happens? That kid doesn't get sick.
Right.
But because people's selfishness, they don't care about those kids. And mostly, the most important thing here, I can't stress enough, and this is why the article bothered me and I wanted to read it. This is the same reason Trump got elected.
Right.
It's the Fox News syndrome. It's, I don't like facts that are inconvenient to me. It makes me feel a certain way. So what I'm going to do is choose to believe fiction because that makes me feel better. And so you had these parents that were like, the reason my kid got Down syndrome is because of vaccination. It's not anything genetic. It couldn't be whatever. It couldn't just be, you know, some kids are going to have, if you procreate enough, you're going to have a random outcomes that are going to affect people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's never going to be a time where 100% of humanity is born a certain type of way that you find acceptable. Right? And I'm putting you in quotes because I'm not speaking for myself, but those people. You can't then turn around and be like, well, then I just want to get my kid vaccinated, because of some shit I can't prove. And you had major stars like Jenny McCarthy pushing this. And the reason I say Fox News, it's really more cable news than Fox News, but it's the idea of treating people who are afactual, also known as liars, with the same weight, the same heft as scientists, as experts, as people who are working in this field.
Dedicating they do whole this, lives to it.
Yes, and they do this constantly. It's not just dedicating a life, because I want to be clear. They are educating themselves.
Right.
They are doing research.
Conferences, meetings.
Like, they are, like, this is not willy-nilly, because you can dedicate your life to some afactual bullshit, but the media really breathe life into this. You know, the internet, all this stuff, that allow people who are idiots, who are conspiracy theorists, who are, they're just celebrities that just happen to have a contrarian point of view, they allow them to have the same weight to say, let's bring on someone who has studied their entire life in infectious diseases, and let's bring on Jenny McCarthy, who you guys may know as being a supermodel. Let's just bring her on, and y'all, they'll have it out, and one of them will be talking facts and the other one will be shaking their head going, no, I don't think so, and we're gonna just go to commercial break like, well, we hashed it out, and both sides, right? Well, now you got fucking measles back. Like, what? What are we doing? Y'all gonna bring back the black plague? Cause you feel bad about these facts? I think it was the governor of Washington. Yeah, Washington State Governor Jay Inslee declared a state of emergency January 25th after multi-county cases caused a public disaster. There were 36 cases reported on Monday. The nearby city of Portland in Oregon is also concerned as there have been dozens of possible exposure locations ranging from a Trailblazers games to a children's museum.
Right, because they fucking travel. You go where places, you touch shit, you cough.
Right. There are also 349 cases reported in 26 states and D.C., including outbreaks in New York, New Jersey, where many were vaccinated people in Orthodox, unvaccinated people in Orthodox Jewish communities. We can't let this group think because of shit that's just not scientific, like your religion, like some conspiracy theory on the internet. We can't let that overtake science. And the reason I'm making it bigger than just this measles outbreak, same thing with climate change. It's the same fucking logic where it's just like, I don't want to feel like that's true, so I will just find some other shit to believe. You know, it's the same fucking logic. It's why we have Fox News. It's why we have Trump, because they satisfy that hunger inside for an alternative point of view. I don't like black people. Oh, let us tell you why that's okay. I don't like this global warming thing. I don't want to change nothing. Okay, well, let us tell you why this all bullshit. Yeah, I don't think this vaccination shit. I don't like the idea of some scientist poking me in my arm with a needle. Doctor, I don't need that. Yeah, let's tell you why that's bullshit then. You don't have to do it. Fuck out of here. And they just doing it to get rich. All of those motherfuckers working Fox News got vaccinated kids. 100% of them.
Come on. And they vaccinated themselves. Get the fuck out of my face.
Same way they was like, sexual harassment, Me Too's all bullshit. And then all them women went and sued Fox News. Why? Because they was getting their titties grabbed and shit. And they was like, you poors might want to put up with this at your chicken plant that you're working at, but I did not get my degree and these blonde tresses all scrunched up so that I could get my titties squeezed on for free. Mm-mm. I want my pay equality.
Right, because it doesn't matter till the shit comes down your street.
I'm Megyn Kelly and I'll be right back. Anyway,
and speaking of her, I seen the Today Show. I got my teeth cleaned and it was lit.
It was all the black people?
Yes, they was having a ball.
I need to catch that during one of these days. I've been playing games too much. I need to check out. I know them black people in that partying.
Carson Daly, honey, they be playing games and shit. They be having a good time.
Carson Daly was in there?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess he coming to the cookout.
I don't know.
He was in there with the black people.
He was in there with them.
He turned on the ABC or whatever it was. Was it NBC? Turned on NBC, be like, oh, it's Megyn Kelly here. Oh, nope. It's me, Al Roker, baby. I'm about to give you this weather. I think that's what we need in life right now, because news is depressing, so I need Al Roker to come on and take me to the cookout.
Come on.
This story's been making rounds on black Twitter.
Okay.
And black spaces and black online Facebook and shit. So, apparently, lifestyle mogul B. Smith, she has Alzheimer's. She's been diagnosed with it, and it was revealed to the public in 2013.
Okay.
Her husband Dan Gatsby and her presented a united front when they revealed it. The couple co-wrote a book, and Gatsby has spoken openly about their struggle since receiving the heartbreaking news.
Okay.
It's the toughest thing I ever dealt with, he told People magazine in 2016. Anybody who is an Alzheimer's caregiver knows exactly what other caregivers are going through. It's 24/7. The complexity and intensity of it is very rough. As Gatsby continues to care for Smith, he revealed he found a new love in December. To steal the title from 50 Cent and the Game, hate it or love it. You can debate, but for me, I'm just feeling great. Life's too short to ask for a rebate, so I'm gonna surf through life before it's too late. Hashtag voila. He captioned a picture of himself and his girlfriend, Alex Lerner, posted on Facebook in December.
What?
Yep. Pictures of Lerner at home with Smith and Gatsby soon followed. Online, Gatsby's openness about the situation has begun to spur backlash. So he posts pictures of his wife who, you know, has Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
And his new woman that he has moved into the house with them. That I guess is dating him now, I guess is the best word.
So I mean, I understand she has Alzheimer's, but he don't want to divorce her.
No, he still wants to be her primary caregiver and stuff, and also wants to be with his woman. Now his wife is on the right in this picture, and the new woman is on the left. And he seems to be kind of celebrating it. And you know, considering that this is her, B. Smith's money and empire that helped kind of build this as well, and he helped build it, people are like, so you basically using the money from that to take care of this new woman, right? You know, there's a lot of stuff with that. A lot of people are upset. My mother and aunt had Alzheimer's. It's rough. That said, it's a violation of his marital vows to have his girlfriend in the house he shares with his wife that she paid for with a lifetime of hard work as a model, restaurateur, cookbook author. Dan Gatsby is fucking trash. Another person said, I pray for B. Smith. Her husband Dan Gatsby and mistress Alex Lerner are terrible human beings. I know B. Smith got distant relatives and need check her overall health to make sure these two jokers aren't accelerating her illness or draining her money. Dan Gatsby has been airing his dirty laundry on Facebook for years, sometimes daily. I really think he went down the wrong road. Aaron, this is wrong. She doesn't know what's going on and doesn't know what's up with this new woman in their home. He's disgusting. I guess this is a quote from him. I've been married to a black woman for 26 years. I have a PhD in black love. Says the black man who has a white girlfriend staying in the... Oh, I forgot to mention she was white. Yeah. Staying in the home he shares with his black wife who has Alzheimer's. But he was quick to clap back, calling his critics ignorant on Facebook.
Ignorant?
That's what he called them. He added, he feels only those who are full-time caregivers to a spouse with Alzheimer's can understand what his life is like, and wrote, I love my wife, but I can't let her take away my life.
What? Leave! You still using her money? Leave! Nobody's forcing you to be there!
I mean, I thought marriage was kind of pledging your life to someone and the sickness and health and
right. I mean, like I said, now this will be a different situation if before she has Alzheimer's they was like, hey, we're in an open relationship, yeah, and he was like, you know what, my wife getting sick, you know, we've had an open relationship, I think mm-hmm. I'm more understanding to that. Mm-hmm. But it don't sound like that arrangement was made. She got sick and he was like, oh, now I'm gonna open up the relationship. You don't know how she feels about that because she can't tell you.
Well, it sounds like he basically said she can't remember this, so why not. And so he got upset, you know, and went to Facebook where he originally shared this information to clarify and to clap back at his haters.
That you created, because you know what, you could have said nothing.
You could have said, that's where I was going with this.
You could have said,
I was gonna read the whole thing, but my point was,
wouldn't have nobody have known.
This, like, so there's this thing where it's like, something is your business and we can go, that's y'all's business, we trying to stay out of it.
All right.
You know, it happens all the time. You have a friend, they got a problem with another friend. Hey, you ain't got to tell me all this if you don't want to. It's totally your business. I didn't ask. Right. I'm not prying. You know, but sometimes people just won't take no for an answer. It's like, I'm going to tell you this shit anyway. Well, this is kind of that to me, where it's, hey, I don't need to know all this, homie. whatever you doing with your life, that's your life. And he's over there like, I got to tell my business. So he replied, newsflash, to the nickel and dime PayPal thought troll named after two European cities be lived in and all of us have traveled to extensively. I wonder, who could he be talking about? Two European cities. I have no idea. Y'all know who that is?
Mm-mm.
All right. To the writer and editor of the Neg Grio. That's good. That's pretty good. Oh man, that name.
That's hilarious.
Is that a Grio? The Neg Grio? That's pretty good.
That sounds like a dish.
Who ginned up controversy by covertly spewing racist innuendo, to the bloggers who wallow in the mud and the filth of lies, to the idiots and ignorant people calling for my arrest and saying B is or has ever been abused. I only wish someone in your immediate family had Alzheimer's so you can see, feel, experience the pain of millions of people across this country, so you know firsthand what it is like to care 24/7, 365 for someone who can no longer care for themselves. And last of all, but to me least of all, those religious Neanderthal who judge as if Jesus was a ball and God is a bat, swinging wildly and judging harshly. I say to you, B. Smith's worst day is 10 times better than you've experienced. I love my wife, but I can't let her take away my life. 5 to 10 years from now, when many of you will have an almost predestined meeting with Alzheimer's because of genetics, obesity, and a myriad of inflammatory diseases, you'll be wishing for someone who to share moments with this and ease the pain of loneliness and despair. The clock is ticking. I know I can't have managed this, but you can do it too. But can you do it too?
No,
that's
not like an Instagram post.
It was a Facebook post. My thing is, I don't know why he would, because it was in like the Washington Times, so like he knew Washington Post, so he knew everybody was gonna read this. It's like a
what did he think that everybody was gonna be like, good for you, my brother?
Yeah, and it was like pictures of the white woman girlfriend in the house with like B. Smith. They're kind of looking like she wasn't totally understanding what was happening. Like, it just didn't make sense.
Right, 'cause she has Alzheimer's, right?
Like, why would you flaunt this? It's such a weird
thing to do.
Like, I'm not trying to shame the idea of this could happen and you're still a cognizant, present human being, and maybe you want to take care of your wife and shit, and maybe, you know, or this husband, whatever the situation, I'm not judging, but like, I can understand that this could be a possibility, and it's just something that people don't talk about. And
right.
It would be one thing if it was like, I'm trying to take the shame out of this. I just want people to know that this is a tough thing to deal with. But to then turn around and be like, this is because I got a PhD in black love. You shut up, you angry bitches. Like, well, now you just want people to be mad. Like, did you do this just to make people mad? What was the point?
And y'all do have family and friends that are reading this, too. And they're not going to be too pleased about this.
Yeah. I think his daughter weighed in. Let's see. Gazi opened up further in the Washington Post profile. He told the paper he believes the vitriol came from people who had an issue with learners' race. I've been married to a black woman for 26 years. I have a PhD in black love. The piece also explored Gatsby and Lerner's love story. They started as friends, and Lerner wanted to keep it platonic for a while. We were friends, Lerner recalled. I didn't want to go out with a married man. As she got to know Gatsby, she said she realized he is not a man cheating on his wife. His love for Smith impressed Lerner. What I admire about him is he takes care of her. The native German also became one of Smith's caretakers. Oh my God. If I can be compassionate to her, I can do anything for her. It makes me feel good. If it's giving her something to drink or making her something to eat, she loves to eat, I feel good.
One of his caretakers.
Her caretaker.
I'm sorry. So she... this other woman became one of her caretakers.
Mm-hmm.
A woman that she didn't know prior to getting being sick.
Yeah, I don't know if she knew her prior to being sick or not.
Okay.
I mean, I can't determine if that will make it better or worse depending on how people feel about
it. Right, but the thing is, there are other, you could have hired another caretaker if, you know, ain't like, you know, her, she still had, people saying she still have products out there. So you could have hired a caretaker to take care of her. It's families and friends that could have stepped in to take care of her. And my thing is that, I guess, from my perspective, like I said, you could have said nothing, because once you put this out in the public, people are going to have opinions about it, and everybody's not going to be pleased with it. And you can't be mad because they was like, nigga, you cheating. Because to a lot of people, that's what it appears to be.
Yeah, I'm sure between Gatsby giving her rounds, she goes in there and takes care of B. Smith. She's like, oh, let me give her some food while he recuperates, and then he can finish taking me to Pound Town.
Right, and the thing is, for a lot of people, it wouldn't matter what race this woman is, and for some people it does. So they're gonna like, oh, you let this white bitch in your house and then you let her be a fucking caretaker, how dare you, nigga.
Yeah,
and so that's what a lot of that rage is coming
around
from. right and then you, and then when you're dealing with the internet, you're dealing with people that have hurt, that have pain. You're dealing with people that black men have left them for white women, like so when you put this out in a public sphere, you're dealing with all types of people. Like I say, a lot of people wouldn't have cared who she was. They was like, these were not your arrangements to your marriage, to the best of our knowledge. Right. So why are you changing the rules after she can't give consent to this?
Dana, Gatsby's daughter from a previous relationship, also gave the relationship her blessing. The 32-year-old moved into the home to share the duty of looking after Smith. When he told me, I was like, thank God, I'm happy, she said. What Dana doesn't like is her dad's social media behavior. I tell him all the time, be careful with what he posts. I say, look, you're going to make people mad. You either have to be okay with that or you have to change. Gatsby insists he told his wife about Lerner, but admitted Smith's illness makes it difficult for her to internalize information. So, yeah, also, she must not have known at least about this part of the relationship. And now that she has Alzheimer's, how could she possibly know or approve?
And like, if she approved, I wouldn't have had a problem with it at all.
Smith's decline is evident. The woman, once known as Black Martha Stewart, has issues with her short-term memory and speaks in short, incoherent sentences. During the post-interview, she talked to Lerner about non-existent baby and didn't recognize herself in the photograph. Despite the challenges, Gatsby remains by her side. Dana said her father's dedication is evident through the fact that he's never left or placed his wife of 26 years in a home. She's in this house. She's here every day, says Dana. Yeah, I don't know. That's just one of those things you wish you didn't know. That's how I put it.
Right. It's really, really complicated, because there's a lot of moving pieces, a lot of moving factors, and people that have to take care of their spouses, it has to be a toll on them. It got to be a toll on them. And nobody's saying it isn't a toll on him. All people are saying is, do this the right way, as far as she needs to be aware, but you can't make her aware, and that's the problem. You can't make her aware of the situation so that she could put in her approval or disapproval. And I think, for me personally, that's why I have the problem with it, is that this wasn't something that, like I said, y'all had an open relationship or a bisexual relationship or whatever relationship you determine, and then this happened and you go, well, oh, we've already had these arrangements, I'm doing this, I don't have a problem with that. But for the fact that you was like, oh, I love you, I'm gonna take care of you, but I still want to fuck, so I'm gonna bring somebody else inside this house to fuck, and you know, while you're around, and everybody's just supposed to be cool with this, and everybody's not going to be cool with that type of scenario. And at the end of the day, you could have said,
it's just so weird, because why would you tell people this? But I do empathize with the idea of having to make these kind of choices late in life. I mean, you dedicate your life to somebody. Part of that is watching each other die, you know, sad, but it's the truth. And in a strange way, it's not like he's giving up on his vows, quote unquote, of taking care of her.
Correct.
Because he would be judged no matter what. Like, the only thing he could do is pretty much wait the rest of his life. The thing is, and I think a lot of the outrage is coming from this, the fact that men do this shit way more often than women when it comes to somebody gets sick. Next thing you know, this motherfucker's like, well, divorce, time to get a new car, get a new bitch, move, get some more kids, like, get the fuck out of here. And I think it's the unfairness of that societally that really makes women like furious, because many a woman has dedicated her life to some old ass nigga that's, you know, you gotta watch this motherfucker slowly die in the prime of your life, especially when you consider age gaps and shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you gotta watch this motherfucker, you know, slowly die, and you just, you know, out here with prime pussy. Like, I guess I'm gonna just do what I'm supposed to do as a wife, and this is what I signed up for as a marriage, and blah, blah, blah. And it's not very uncommon. I forgot exactly what the statistics on how much more likely it is, but it's a lot more likely for men to just leave.
Correct.
You know, or put you in a home or something. And people would judge if he put her in a home. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna front like they wouldn't.
Right.
But if he put her in a home, it's not like he'd be in the Washington Post talking about, guess what I did? Put my wife in a home? Like, he wouldn't be, you know, it just seems like something, to me, something is just unsavory about the delight that he takes in it. And I don't know how to, I don't know how to put it better than that. It just, there's some sort of like unabashed quality to what he's saying, because I don't find intellectually the idea that this is just a tragic situation and you're trying to make the best of it. I don't find that to be so repulsive as much as I find his, y'all niggas need to get off my dick. Like, right. that is weird to me.
Right. And for a lot of people, from my perspective, a lot of people, it's like you're bragging. Because she has a fan, and that's the thing, she has a fan base, people that love, care about her, buy her products, follow her on social media, so she has this fan base, right?
Right.
So somebody that these people love and adore and support her, somebody, you know, and she's a black woman, so people can relate, and, you know, odds are they knew of you, you know, because you're a husband, and they're like, you turn around and you flunked this relationship in front of us, and then you flaunt this other woman. No, you're not leaving your wife, but you flaunt this other woman. Like, we're supposed to be okay with this. And that's why.
And it's not even about us being okay. Why even tell us?
Right.
It doesn't, like, I'm a firm believer in it really doesn't fucking matter what I think about your relationship. Correct. I understand, quote unquote, love is gonna do what love does. Mm-hmm. And it don't really look, it, like, every decision within a relationship is not some shit for a goddamn focus group,
right?
You know, there's gonna be some shit that people are either like, they're like, I need this from you to make my relationship work, but I don't need the world to know that I need this from you. And I mean that for good things. I'm talking about non-abusive relationships,
right?
Not, obviously, in relationships where there's actual physical sexual abuse, monetary abuse, which I'm not saying this relationship isn't. So don't write in and say, this is abuse. I'm not saying it is.
Right, we don't know.
But I'm saying, just as a general rule, there's a lot of ugly shit to relationships, mm-hmm. especially monogamous relationships and shit. There's a lot of ugly, like, stuff where it's like, I want this to be private. It's not shameful. It's not wrong, but I need it between us. You know, whether it's, I don't like when you dress this way, or, don't be out all late at night, or whatever kind of thing that, you know, in theory, you should be like, I should be able to do whatever the fuck I want. I'm a grown ass adult. What, I'm cheating on you because I went out late? Like, there's an argument for all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And those are things that happen in private for people, where they're like, where they come up with their parameters of, hey, I don't want you spending the night over other people's houses. I want you to be home every night. Or, I don't know, whatever fucking thing it is, right? Y'all pick the insecurity and the thing y'all have experienced. This, you're human. Well, yeah, those things just stay in house. If you write in the Washington Post, I don't let my wife wear thongs and tight dresses when we go out, you gonna invite a whole lot of motherfuckers to be like, well, hold up now. Now it's my business. You made it my business.
And that's my thing. He made it other people's business and then got mad. Well, nigga, you made it their business. Yes, they're gonna be a lot of variation of opinions. They didn't have to know.
Like, sound like, you know, he got tired of just, you know, actually, that's too much speculating. I'm gonna stop because I had a whole theory of his life, and it's not fair to him. But yeah, it's a fucked up situation.
Yeah, and guess what? Y'all could have lived like this until she died, and nobody would have cared.
I don't know. It's like, it's almost like he got tired of having to keep his white woman a secret or whatever. Like,
and that's why I said it feels like that floning.
And I shouldn't even say white woman, his woman, because I don't know that it had to be a, like, whatever the fuck. It just, like, he got tired of motherfuckers not knowing.
Right.
Like, I don't know why.
And the thing is, like you say, you don't want to go to race, but it does feel racial, because you go, well, oh, if this was a black woman, would you be flaunting her out this same way? And a lot of people are asking that question, like, oh, the only reason why you even coming out because you want to show everybody that this is a white woman, it shouldn't matter.
Yeah, it just, nigga, what are you doing?
Right, you could have said nothing.
Can y'all imagine something happening to Karen? I just show up on this next podcast with me and my white woman, like, all right, y'all, welcome to the black and white woman, Death Tips. Y'all will be like, what the fuck is this shit?
You and Apple, you and Turnip Green.
And then when y'all wrote in, like, I'm canceling my subscription. What the fuck, Rod? You really just did this to Karen? And I'm out here like, you ignorant thought named after Europe, two cities. I can't believe you bitches from the Negrio would ever come after your boy. Like, how big does your fucking head have to be?
You gonna be on here with tangerine and orange.
Jesus Christ.
Whatever fruit she called.
Jesus. Just on go. Couldn't have said nothing. You were good, buddy. Nobody had to know about this shit. Could have been a rumor that went around DC where I was like, did you hear that his wife or something happened? I don't know. I see him with that white woman, but it's crazy. He's like, I got called the Washington Post. They need to know I am dicking this down, okay?
Right this.
Swirl alert. The fuck? All right.
It's just fucked up all around. It don't matter the color that she is, but race matters in a country so much that people are gonna look at her like, word, nigga.
And I was right news. Pastor John Gray, who bought that $200,000 Lamborghini for his wife.
They still doing shit.
Told y'all to mind y'all motherfucking business. He didn't buy it with church money.
Before shift, I was unable to grocery shop with a newborn.
That's weird. It said muted and then it wasn't. All right. Said that y'all need to mind your motherfucking business. Cause that wasn't church money. That was his personal money. Well, turns out he might not have used to buy the Lamborghini, but he does live in a $1.8 million house paid for by the church.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He defended his lavish purchase of that car by saying he bought it as a husband, not as a pastor. At the same time, he's living in a $1.8 million house purchased by the church. Is that as a husband? How does that work? This is not anything new. Travis Hayes, chief financial officer of Relentless Church, told the Greenville News, this is a practice that is done with every denomination in the nation. That's what this is. This is an asset that belongs to the church. Gray did not comment to the news because he didn't have to. All mega church pastors are atheists, just letting y'all know. I wait for y'all to catch up on that game, but I've been told y'all more than once, all these niggas is atheists, hustling y'all out y'all hard-earned money and then using fucking shell games. Like, we need a $1.8 million house for the church. Okay, cool. Well, I go to the church, so you mind if I get a room? Hold up now, buddy. Okay, you're not gonna come up in my house. Okay, I don't know what you think. You think this belong to everybody? No, nigga, this is the pastor's house. Okay, of the church. So you got to be the pastor of the church to get a key. Fuck out of here. Let's see what else got happened. Actually, let's move into something else. Let's do some fucking with black people in a few days. Probably should go back to that playlist. And here we go.
We're just fucking with those blacks. We're just fucking with black people.
That's right, guys. Time to play the game that we all hate to play. It's fucking with black people. The game that goes all around the world and finds different articles to make us feel fucked with is black people. And we assign point scores from 0 to 100 in intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Let's see who's fucking with us now. Video of Nick Cannon goes viral after speaking on why he and black men want white women. Well, this is hell of a follow-up to our last article, isn't it? Right. Nick Cannon gave his thoughts on why black men want white women. A video of Nick Cannon's talk show.
He got a talk show?
Right, because he got a podcast too. He everywhere.
Why does it feel like Nick Cannon having a talk show has been a revelation to me every time I've read it?
Right?
Like, I feel like we talked about it before, and every time I'm just like, this thing got a talk show?
I keep forgetting.
Like, like people watching this shit? Y'all doing this?
Somebody watching it.
Video stars with him describing reasons why black men want white women, and people are rightfully attacking what he's saying. Let me see if I can share my screen, because I think it's something I can play for y'all.
Okay.
We'll see. Not sure about this website that is hosting the video, but you gotta get your black news somewhere.
White women are looked at as success. Yes. In America, we see a white woman, I couldn't have you. My daddy mm-hmm. couldn't have you. My granddaddy couldn't have you. Mm-hmm. I would get killed even looking at mm-hmm. you. So now, if I play for the NBA, I want them all. Mm-hmm.
So you're telling me, the black woman who has been there for a...
Okay, is this nigga like...
Is this Hotep TV? What's happening here?
Hold up.
What is this?
This is an overwhelming situation.
Right? Is he gonna sell me a bean pie? I'm confused.
For my senses. This is the most wokest protest.
This is aggressive.
You got three black power fists in the background. I don't know what to say below them. Is that,
I don't know.
Is that Latin? Is that Cannabis Club? I don't know. Cannon's Club. Okay, so Nick Cannon's three black power fists, Cannon's Club. He also got what I assumed was a,
They're doing this in the library. What's happening? All these books. I'm confused.
What looks to me to be a Louis Farrakhan impersonator right. is his co-host on this, I guess. Right. I don't know.
And he not even calm. He was like, what I want to say, my brother, is that, I was like, what?
Yeah, so that dude chimed in to talk about the white women. So
just angrily.
Let's get back to this. That was a lot.
Right? I didn't know what was going to go in 10.
The whole damn time. When we were getting lynched, when we were getting whipped, who was there for us to heal our wounds? If you can give up on a black woman so easily, you don't deserve no other woman, because you have demonstrated that you can't give enough love to the number one who needs it the most. Mm. Because she has been destroyed the most, rejected the most. She is the number one divorced, last married, most mistreated, and you telling me
facts.
That because now you have money, now I'm free to go mess with the same white woman who helped to keep me in slavery. Selfish black brothers, mm-hmm. selfish, who want to come together with a white woman as an individual, as though she is the epitome of greatness. She's the most beautiful. She has the best hair. She has the best everything. No, I think I take some brown sugar over some white cancer causing sugar any day.
I can't have both.
What? What is happening here? I can't have both. I want chocolate and vanilla. All the ice cream.
That, first of all.
That was a lot.
The honorable brother,
I don't know.
Louis Farrakhan, really wasted his motherfucking time and breath talking to that man, because he hit him with straight facts, and that dude was like, I mean, that's cool, but I mean, I can't have them both. I mean, why not? Why not both? Why can't I fuck with the oppressor and the?
I don't know. Sugar causes cancer. Nobody told me that. Well, I like a lot of sugar.
Well, that's a great snippet if you want to promote your show. Got to give them credit on that.
Right?
0 to 100.
Nah, 0, because that shit made me laugh. 100 for him. But that shit is fucking hilarious. I like both sugars too, baby.
What's funny to me is that he was just saying Travis Scott is doing the Super Bowl because he had a baby with a Kardashian, as if that was some type of knock on him. Like, of course that coon is doing the Super Bowl. He had a baby with a white woman. And then Nick Cannon's on his own show being like, what, I can't like him like a white woman? I mean, my granddaddy couldn't get a white woman. I can't get me one? Damn. Like, what?
What?
This is the part, the part that perplexes me the most, y'all. This is what bothers me the most. How do white people not know that this nigga is up to these things?
Cause they don't pay
him. Well, he's not on their, like, Everybody Got Talent shows and shit.
Mm-hmm. When he clocks out, they don't pay. They were like, how do they don't care what that nigga does.
How do they not know?
I don't know.
Cause like, let's talk about being a black man for a second. Do y'all think Ryan Seacrest somewhere doing this kind of shit?
No, because they assume he doing black shit and niggas. You know how with the white media in mass, white people in mass, if it's quote unquote black shit, they don't care.
I guess what I'm saying is this though. Ryan Seacrest has a radio show.
Yes, he does.
Ryan Seacrest got caught up on some Me Too shit.
Mm-hmm.
But Ryan Seacrest is not finna be on the air talking about, what? I mean, I can't grab some titties. I mean, come on, guys. Because he would be canceled immediately. Everybody be like, oh, so you did that shit.
Yes.
Only black dudes really be out here like, I'm about to live reckless on the weekends. Like, I clock out of America Got Talent at 5 p.m. on Friday, and on fucking at 7 p.m. on Friday night, I'm going to be out here like, why I can't fuck all the white bitches, okay?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm off the clock. Y'all can't do shit.
Anyway, I give it 100 because this is crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What's wrong with him?
He get 100, but that clip was fucking hilarious.
Yeah. And for the record, it's facts on both of things that they both are saying. Real talk. That's why there's so much pushback.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when... That's the thing, when black men get with white women, like rich famous black men and shit, and then brothers use them as an avatar to like talk shit about black women,
right?
Which happens a lot.
Yes, it does.
You know, we've covered it on this show before, like how there's really no evidence, no actual proof that Michael B. Jordan only dates white women, but what there is a lot of black men who would like for that to be the case, who then mock black women for even giving a fuck about the dude and his life romantically, and to the point where they made up that whole like black women gonna boycott Black Panther. They didn't even need proof, they didn't even need any actual receipts. They and black publications were trotting that out. Some of these black publications were black run by black women, and they were still trotting this anti-black woman bullshit out to be like, look how they hate these brothers for dating white women. And the thing is, if black women hated black men that just because they dated a white woman, I mean, it'd be only a handful of niggas out here making a living.
Right.
Like, it's more about the fact that a lot of these motherfuckers, well, not a lot, but a lot of black men,
the ones
that aren't in those relationships, will then turn around and find a way to denigrate black women and uplift white women.
And that's the problem. And that's the problem. The black women have. Black women don't give a fuck who you put your dick in. Love them. Love whoever you love. But just don't act like I'm less than. That's the problem that I have.
Right. And then as TPS reiterates in the chat room, but it's the truth, and if you look it up you'll see, but most of the black men that are rich are married to black women. So it's not even like this epidemic of like, yeah man, every other brother, like it's just a narrative, you know. And it's especially a narrative driven to me by a lot of black men that just hate black women, who then try to run black women down with this white woman shit. Cause like I said, nobody really cares until you make it somebody's business when you're like, and the reason I don't date black women, cause they wouldn't date me when I was a young nerd, and these bitches, da 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 da. And honestly, if a white woman gets with a black dude like that, you deserve him. Y'all deserve to be together. Like, you get with anybody that hate their own race, you deserve the hell that your life is gonna be.
Right.
Especially because, if y'all have children, because they're gonna be half of this self-hating ass race.
Right. Because, and the thing is, it's disrespectful to you.
Right.
Because if he does not love his people, he can never truly and fully love you. And that's facts. And this, yeah, what we're saying now goes back to that first fucking article. Nobody cared, mm-hmm, until people felt like, right, he was flaunting that woman. That's why people responded. And what's even more fucked up, you come, it's like a bee, a hornet's nest. Black women be minding their own goddamn business. And somebody, he goes, you know what, today, I'm gonna fuck with y'all. They hit the hornet's nest, everybody comes out, and they act like something wrong with us for going, leave us the fuck alone.
And for the record, I do recognize that there is a percentage of black women, just because there's no monoliths, period. So yes, there will be a percentage of black women that will be like, I'm just mad this person got with a white woman.
Correct.
There will be a percentage. I'm not trying to, like, twist the truth into like that doesn't even happen ever, but the vast majority of people don't give a fuck,
don't care.
The vast majority of black women won't give a fuck. Nobody, like, look, I say people, I mean people. This is not switching bait and switch. People for the most part don't give a fuck who you're in a relationship with.
Mm-mm.
Black women are in the group of people until you make it their business, you know. And then, you know, because of patriarchy, it doesn't really work the other way, because unfortunately, despite even when black men aren't loyal to black women, like say a Tariq Nasheed or you know, some of these people, that these hotep dudes that spend a lot of time denigrating black women, they're the first ones to be mad that a black woman is dating a white man. They still mad at Shonda Rhimes for Scandal because Kerry Washington was smashing the white president.
Mm-hmm.
They, which by the way is a fictional situation, but they bring it up like it's real life, like it actually happened. So yeah, it doesn't work the other way around. Like they don't have that same room for it's okay. Like we feel an ownership to our women, even when we're not even loyal to our own women in that way. So anyway, it's 100 for me. Nick Cannon, shut up. Let's see what else happened. Oh, I was right about something else today or this week. NBA champs Golden State Warriors skipped the post-championship meeting with Donald Trump to instead meet with Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when I said they should do this?
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I think it was even 2 years ago. I was like, yo, they should just not meet with him. But not just that. Instead of just not meeting, they need to go meet the Obamas. Like, find out. Yo, they really did it.
Mm-hmm.
They took pictures and everything.
Yeah, because fuck Trump.
I really hope they got like some food and everything. Like,
you know they got real food.
I hope they had good music.
You know they partied.
Team Petty. Because remember last year Trump took back his invitation? It's like, oh, I don't want y'all to come. But it was after they already said, we ain't coming. You know, like they went Obama's last year, then Trump, they was like, we good on Trump, we good.
Mm-mm.
And so then I was like, yo, they should go meet with Obama again. They did. Oh god, yeah. I love the NBA. I love the fucking NBA.
And I didn't know this, but the Hamburglar in chief, mm-hmm, gave them kids the big Happy Meal, mm-hmm, on them plates. And I was reading an article about the students that went.
Oh, no, you're skipping ahead to the next article.
Oh, my bad.
Out here going rogue. Mm-mm.
I'm sorry.
I'm driving this car, okay?
I'm sorry. I'll buckle up and sit down then.
0 to 100 on the Warriors going to see the Obamas.
I'm sorry. This is like me fussing at Siri.
0 to 100.
Zero. I'm not fucked with.
Zero as well. Next article. Majority of Clemson's black players decline Trump's fast food reception. And boy, I gotta tell you, now I pat myself on the back when I'm right, but I gotta pat myself on the back. I mean, I gotta, you know, scold myself when I'm wrong. I think it was a Balls Deep episode with Justin, where Justin was looking at the pictures. He was like, man, there's a lot of white people. And I was like, man, I'm sure them black players was there. They really didn't have a choice. And then, cause you know, college is all fucked up. Turns out I was wrong.
Me too.
A lot of these black players.
A lot of them was like, nah.
Was like, I got a class that day. I can't, mm-hmm, make it.
A lot of the upperclassmen, they were saying the people that went were normally like freshmen and sophomores.
15 of the 57 black players made the trip. 15. The vast majority of those were younger players who feared reprisals over their status with the team moving forward.
Right.
If I don't go, I might get cut. Mm-hmm. I'm not like these other dudes that have a solidified starting spot on the roster. So let me go ahead and go, because Coach Dabo seems very keen on dipping his Big Mac in some sweet and sour sauce. So now I got to do this bullshit.
Right. They getting laughed and joked at nationally.
Yep. As one of the quoted players explained, not saying anything against the players who went, but if you look at who went, freshmen and people fighting for playing time, you'll see what I'm talking about. All three students confirmed that Clemson's coaches, staff, and administration neither pressured them to attend nor asked them to be quiet about their reasons for not attending. So, 0 to 100.
Oh, I'm not fuck with. I mean, I'm fuck with it because they should have voted on it, because it don't sound like they voted on it. Like, they should have got together and be like, hey, versus me make the decision, I'm gonna let y'all make the decision. Whatever y'all decide, that's what we'll do. Mm-hmm. And if you still don't want to go, if they decide, you can still have that choice. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna force anybody to go. But he basically was like, we're going. Like, he didn't give them an option.
Well, Yeah, yeah, okay.
And, I mean, that's the way I look at it. Like, mm-hmm. like, sound like he made the decision. Like
that they were going to go as a team, but he still let people decide if they didn't want to go.
Correct.
Like, he didn't make anybody go.
Right.
But so this is how, wait, hold on, I'm sorry. Were you finished with your thought? I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, no, because my thing is that if, put it like this, because there's some people that went that would not have went if they would have had a vote and they didn't have to go. So y'all going made them feel pressured to go.
But then also there were some people that would have wanted to go that wouldn't have got to go if you had a vote.
Correct.
And they voted not to go.
Right.
The other thing you assumed is that they would have voted to not go.
Right. It still could have went either way.
Yeah, even the kids. Okay, so this is the part I wanted to say. The unspoken part of all this. The locker room of most football teams, pretty divided, right down the racial lines most of the time.
Correct.
Those white dudes that play that sport aren't necessarily the most liberal people. It's one of the reasons that when it came to like protests with Colin Kaepernick and stuff, you didn't see a lot of white dudes taking a knee. A couple of them supported, like, I think, and I mean that it was a couple. I don't mean like 12, I mean like two. And like Chris Long, I remember, was one, and there was that dude for the Bengals. Those white dudes don't necessarily have Democratic politics, even though they work side by side with black men and all that stuff. They're at a job the same way that your coworkers don't agree with your politics at your job a lot of times, right? They're like, I don't agree with that shit. So there's a better than none chance that if they would have voted, then white people would have said, I want to go.
Correct.
And so I can see how the coach being in that decision and that tough thing will say, well, I'm not going to advise anybody to go or not go. I'm just going to say, we're going. There's going to be a bus. If you want to get on and come with us, you can. If you want decide to stay home, you can do that as well. Because at the end of the day, with a lot of this stuff, white people are not bothered by Donald Trump because they don't have any skin in the game.
Right.
To them, he's just the president. If anything, it's kind of cool, a wacky president, because nothing's really happening to white people in general. None of these rules are really against them. So to them, this is still theory. It's one of the reasons I don't really have white friends anymore. You know, I peep game early. Like, I'm talking during the Republican primary of 2016, and them, like, I had it only took a couple people caping for Donald Trump to make me be like, this is not gonna be my life. Y'all are not about to gaslight me and make me think this shit is okay or funny or say a little sideways shit. I don't play those games. So you have to get the fuck out of my life, and I'll never regret that because I had to stand up for myself.
Right.
Now, you know, these weren't lifelong friends. Like, I understand some people probably had, you know, I wouldn't break up with my lifelong friends, but still, I had known those dudes for over 10 years.
Right. Really long time.
And I was like, yeah, this is it for me.
Right.
Like, if y'all can't see what the fuck I'm saying, then everything in our relationship got us in. So, I would think more about the divide on the team being bigger than ever when they got back. They're lucky that this is the end of the season. They might not see each other for a few months, but.
Right.
You know, to me, I'd be looking at the motherfuckers that win if I was black, like, okay, so that's how you feel. You went up there and got some fucking McCheeses and shit, some McChickens.
You got joked and laughed at.
Yeah, but you didn't care. You wanted to go. It doesn't really matter you got clowned. That's what you wanted to do.
Correct.
You know, so anyway, for me, still 100 just because of the optics of the whole thing, and it's Trump. Like, Trump always gets 100.
Permanent.
But, all right. Last one. This soul food restaurant is serving lessons in black history with shoebox lunches. Patrick Coleman is packing a piece of history into meals served at his soul food restaurant, Beans and Cornbread. Throughout Black History Month, the Detroit-based bistro will offer shoebox lunches, similar to those boxes African Americans used to store food when traveling in the South during the Jim Crow era. Because they were banned and refused service in white-owned establishments, they resorted to cooking and packing their own meals in shoeboxes.
Mm.
Didn't know that.
Mm-mm.
One of the many facts that can be on this
his box. Mm-hmm.
You get on the highway these days and you can stop at any restaurant along the interstate, but back during Jim Crow, black folks couldn't do that. He told Black Enterprise, you cannot go into the dining cars, and if you were on a train or pulled over to a Denny's or a Cracker Barrel and walk in, you could potentially end up getting killed. Coleman, who opened Beans and Cornbread in 1997 in Southfield, a northern suburb of Detroit, says the shoebox lunches were inspired by the stories his mother and grandmother told him about taking trips into the segregated South. They would get into this nice train up north in Detroit, and once they hit the Mason-Dixon line, they had to get on the old coal power train where soot was coming in the windows.
Wow.
That's when someone would open up a bag of the shoeboxes and would come out because they could not go into the diner cars. I'm just one generation removed from that.
Wow. Because they couldn't go where the food was being served, so they would serve them these.
No, they're saying they packed shoebox lunches for this moment. Like, okay, so now let me go get my shoeboxes lunch and eat my food, because I can't, in the South, I can't go and order some food.
I'm with you.
I just love how he brought it home. I'm just one generation removed from that.
And people have a tendency to forget that.
Yeah, like all the super woke people, all the fucking liberal white folks, everybody acting like we so far away. Mm-hmm. Like, why haven't we just got freedom yet? And it's like, I definitely feel y'all, but racism can't be over that fast because it was here too long. What you talking about?
Yeah.
We got a Black president. The fuck are you talking about?
I think even Feminista Jones said it was 400 years.
Right.
Right. Since we first got here, it's going to be a long time.
It's a blip, man. It's a blip. Freedom. If you look at a graph, I've shown it before on the show, but if you look at that graph of Black captivity, subjugation, oppression, and then watch how it goes from slavery to Jim Crow to segregation to civil rights movement to now, the period of time where you were Black and not like literally under ownership of white people, period. And I don't mean like and I'm not saying that this isn't still happening today, it is the mass incarceration system, but I'm saying where you had a chance as a Black person to be somebody or something, it's a very small window.
Right.
And think about this. Within that, say, 40 to 50 year window, white people already have gotten the Voting Rights Act taken off of the books, basically, to say we don't need to enforce this anymore. Supreme Court decided there's no racism, so why are we enforcing it? Couldn't be that it's possibly working. Voter suppression's back. they've decided we don't need affirmative action. We're even. Like, think about these things. Like, and apparently, more importantly than anything, no white people are racist. Ask any of them. They'll tell you. Like, within 40 to 50 years, all white people unlearned racism. That's why getting Trump was not a thing that I didn't think could happen. That's why I felt 2016 was so dire, because I was like, we've been Trump longer than we've been anything else.
Come on.
This ain't nothing but a return to form. Why are y'all so, like, so why are you so not scared that this could happen? We don't have the luxury of feeling that we're not picking at the peril of our lives, you know? Anyway. Coleman launched his shoebox lunch idea last February, which was a hit. The shoeboxes were extremely popular last year. The idea was so successful that he added a shoebox lunch to the Beans and Cornbread lunch menu back in November, which consists of Southern fried wings in a decorative box commemorating Black history. The box also plays tribute to African American trailblazers and includes information about Freedom Riders and the Green Book, a guide that instructed Black travelers on where they find safe havens throughout the deeply segregated 60s South. It's a history lesson that we call Lunch and Learn. Starting next month, he will expand the shoebox lunch meal to include a variety of traditional soul food dishes like fried chicken and cornbread, Southern fried catfish strips, and their signature Harlem burrito. History in a box meal will run for $11, while the keepsake boxes will be sold for $3 each. According to Coleman, it's crucial to keep Black history alive. It's important that a younger generation understand the strength and determination that their forebears had to persevere through what we now consider normal day-to-day living.
Yeah, I could actually see a teacher going and buying a bunch and like
boxes.
Yes,
the foods.
Okay. Because he said he sell the boxes, which actually is really smart. Somebody go and buy the boxes and like, you know, give them to the children.
Think somebody from Detroit to ship us a box. I mean,
I don't know.
Obviously not with the food in it.
Yeah, the regular box.
Mail us a box.
I don't know.
Get a shoebox lunch.
I wonder if they would allow you to do that since you could just do the boxes.
Yeah. I wonder if I can buy one online. I wonder how it works.
Ooh.
Despite the indignities of the era, Black Americans found a way through resourcefulness as well as resolve to ensure that they could travel and sustain themselves. A portion of the proceeds goes to Central Detroit Christian Community Development Corporation's Young Education Programs. Well, good. 0 to 100.
Oh, I'm not fucked with it all.
That's a 0 for me as well. Isn't that nice? I feel like this was a good fucking with Black people that we just did not get a lot of fucking with us. Like, you know, Nick Cannon's thing was at least a little funny.
Yes, it was.
You know, I was more fucked with by how that dude did B. Smith than anything else, to be honest. So, you know, let's go ahead and get out of this segment while the getting is good.
Come on. Let's grab our bags and go.
All right, let's see what else can we get into. I might do some guest the race. Let me see what our time looks like.
Okay,
yeah, it's about time to do guest the race. I need to do some trash. Maybe we'll get to some next week.
Okay,
I feel like I'll do some quick trash. I'm not gonna play the sound effect. Here's some quick trash. Sundance, where Weinstein was king, is airing a film chronicling his fall. But what about, so we do Surviving R. Kelly, well, what about Mute Weinstein? Google is your friend.
Yes,
he also lost a bid to pause class action lawsuit from female accusers. So for all the, it's him, he the, R. Kelly, they only do this to Black men, keep that same energy, please.
Yeah, and I think I want to say California, I think that, yeah, because of the bullshit he was doing and he had a lot of this shit written in clauses, they banned it, where they go, no, what you can't do is have clauses that talks about sexual assault and you getting away, and no, that bullshit can't be in there no more.
Chris Brown was detained in Paris after a rape accusation, but then he was released very quickly, and the police dropped the charges and apologized to him, according to Chris Brown's people. Just another time of him being accused of sexual assault that, you know, I don't, this time the police are saying, the reasoning for the police letting him go is that they're saying the woman didn't tell anybody at the party, so they can't corroborate her accusation. And, also it's France. So, you know, France is a little bit different with their culture about sexual assault and men and all this shit. So I don't know what happened. I do know afterwards he was at his concert selling his signature Bitch Be Lying t-shirt that he has. Now he's been selling that shirt, this Bitch Lying t-shirt. He's been selling this shit since before. I think since that woman was in his house and accused him of having a gun or some, waving a gun around or some shit. So anyway, just stay in some shit consistently. And ain't shit, like, this is trash, but y'all probably already knew this news. Twitter is indeed toxic for women. So if you guys are wondering where the hard earned grants that go to study things are at, it's proven obvious. And by the way, I'm not mad at whoever had to prove this. This is just, it was obvious. If you have women that are your friends,
right,
that you listen especially to, you visible, know it's the truth.
Don't fuck around, have blue check mark. You really getting harassed.
You should already know it's the truth, but unfortunately there's so many people in denial. I get why you have to do a study like this, but yeah, I could have told you that anecdotally, you know. So all right, now we can get into some guest the race.
Now that it's time for some guest the race. That's right, it's guest the race time. Now that it's time for some guest the race. That's right, it's guest the race time.
Ba-da-bop.
That's right, it's time for guest the race. The number one game show going across all of podcast land, where we read and play news articles from all over the globe. And we ask our contestant today, Karen, and the chat room, to guess the race. And of course everyone playing is racist. All right. Florida man spent 41 days in jail for heroin, but it was actually detergent, says the cops.
What?
Mm-hmm. For nearly 6 full weeks, 29-year-old Matt Kroll said he sat inside a Florida jail for a crime he didn't commit. The charge was trafficking heroin. It came with a steep potential punishment and bond, which frightened Kroll. He said an officer mistook laundry detergent for heroin. It's very surreal when you're sitting in jail with a $500,000 bond, he said, and you can't go anywhere knowing you didn't do wrong.
Probably lost your job and everything.
In the past, when I have gone to jail, it was been something that I knew I wasn't going to be there forever. It's a lot different when you're in jail and the charge of trafficking of heroin carries a penalty of 25 years in prison. Crow was arrested by Martin County Sheriff's Deputy Stephen O'Leary on December 5th. Sheriff William Snyder says the officer has been fired after an investigation uncovered that at least 11 people he put in jail for drug charges were found innocent.
What? They get a zero. They fired his ass. I am not mad at them.
Just fired?
Well.
That sounds criminal to your homie.
Yes, the bar is so low, lose the fucking job and press charges.
Well, unfortunately, this isn't fucking with black people, Karen, so I don't know what the zero means.
The zero for the police department, because they
I know, I'm saying, but we ain't playing that game. Playing Guess the Race. So I don't know what that means.
The officer is white.
I don't have his race. Crow was sleeping inside his van in a parking lot before the arrest. Officers got word of a suspicious van, went to check it out. That's when police say O'Leary found a bag of Tide laundry detergent and claimed a field test proved it was heroin. Yep. No, this is Tide. Oh, so they got a new name on the street for it, huh? They used to call it Smack when I got on the force, and now they call it Tide. No, it's clothes detergent.
I got dirty clothes right here.
Oh, so you're getting high on your clothes. Okay, that's what we call it. Because it cleans your nostrils. Is that what we... No. It's not fucking heroin. It's goddamn Tide. So, yeah. He showed me a picture on the field test. And they supposedly conducted the... He said he never actually showed me the real test kit. But Kroll said he was confused how a drug was found in his car in the first place. I just looked at him baffled and confused because I had no idea as to where 92 grams of heroin came from inside my van.
92 grams!
Snyder said they couldn't find anything credible that with what O'Leary stated. 11 people, including Kroll, have been accused of possession of drugs by him, and they had to free him. Now Kroll has a message to the officer whose arrest stole weeks of his life away. I'm not saying he ruined my life, but he definitely caused me a lot of emotional distress and a lot of stress for my family. Karen, guess the race of Mr. Kroll.
Mr. Kroll is white.
All right, let's check the chat room and see what they believe. White dude is white because they just found out this cop has been lying since it was only Smoothie and D Money going up. He was arresting black people too. This one, that's what you said. The only Kroll we acknowledge is Nick Kroll, white, just as white as that tie with bleach. White. The correct answer is white is so white. Correct answer is white.
Mm-mm-mm. And you know what? And I do agree with them. Everybody else probably been black, so nobody gave a fuck. He arrested this white dude, and somebody was like, something's not right with this.
Mm-hmm.
And they did their investigation, and now Peanut and Tyrone and Pookie and them get to go free now.
Yep. Luckily, it was a swift tide of justice. Oh, wait. That's the wrong sound effect. Think maybe they had a bounty out on his head. Maybe in jail his cellmates were trying to snuggle.
That's good.
But I just want to know what that police officer had to gain from all this.
Oh,
All right. That's all I got.
I figured out he was white because his response at the end was like, he ain't really steal my life. Niggas been like, I went to jail for 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. I ain't got no job. Done lost my apartment.
Yep, that's what happens. But you know what? Nobody will remember tomorrow. It'll be out of the news cycle. Maybe they're trying to get them for money laundering. Okay, I'm sorry. It's way too far. It's way too much, guys. Oh, calm down. Going a little overboard. I killed her. College student, 21, stabs her best friend 30 times with a butcher knife.
Oh, what did she do? That's an angle.
And greets the cops covered in her blood in an apartment they shared. A college student is broken down in tears in her mugshot after she was arrested on suspicion of stabbing her best friend 30 to 40 times in an apartment they both live.
Suspicion?
Louisa Inez Tudela Harris Cutting, 21.
Ooh, what a name.
That's a lot of names.
Mm-hmm.
And Cutting as the last name is on the, I mean, I don't even... Jesus.
On gold.
Last name, lucky your last name wasn't shooting.
Right?
She's charged with second degree murder on Thursday. Police were called to the student's apartment 7:45 a.m. on Thursday with the dispatcher reporting that a female caller was screaming something about a knife. When they arrived, officers were greeted by Cutting, who was covered in blood, and turned around placing her hands behind her back saying, arrest me. When asked why they should arrest her, she said, I killed her. Inside the apartment, officers found a grisly scene. Alexa lay on the floor suffering from up to 40 stab wounds. A butcher knife was sticking out of her mouth. She was pronounced dead at the scene. Police found Alexa's cell phone under her left hand and they took a black serrated knife off her body. Search warrants indicate the officers took the phone and knife. Police also seized pills, smoking devices, and grinders from Cutting's bedroom and a brown chalk like substance from the kitchen. She must have been, I don't know, fucking with some drugs. Friends.
I said something's happening now.
Friends of the young woman said they were mystified by the murder and could not imagine what the motive may have been. I'm lost for words, to be honest. Shelton Lewis of Radford University Jr. told WDBJ-TV he lives just a few doors down and said he knew both girls. I really want to know what was the motive behind it because they were best friends since freshman year. And that was in 2016. Now it's 2019 and this has happened. I thought that we were all going to graduate next year. Yeah, she did graduate to murder. Good grief. Both girls are extremely active on social media, leading an ample record of their close friendship and a chilling hint at the dark turn it apparently took. I met this girl 2 years ago online and somehow we ended up living across from each other for over a year. This summer, she was equivalent to my mom, Alexa wrote of Cutting in an Instagram post last March. She continued, unimaginably, she still puts up with me, and now we're living together next year. Love you, Lou, more, Lou. Everyone pray that we don't kill each other this year. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Wow. Y'all, no, no.
What else you say on that? She'll never stab me in the back 40 times.
Come on.
Like this post, please. Oh man, this is insanity right here.
Right?
Yeah. good grief. In June, Alexa wrote in another Instagram post, exactly a month now, we're gonna be living together. Pray for us, please, and thank you. Oh my God, so not ironic in hindsight.
Right?
In July, Alexa congratulated Cutting on becoming president of the Latino Student Alliance. I know you're going to be amazing with everything you do. Love you more, she wrote. Meanwhile, Cutting appeared to be highly active on a Twitter account that was semi-anonymous, but included her face picture. The account retweeted many jokes about marijuana use, including occasionally dark musings. I know death is coming, but I still can't wrap my head around it, she wrote January 10th. 2 days later, she wrote, my roommate forgot to pay the gas bill and they won't come turn it on till Monday, and now there's a snowstorm on the way. Thank God I'll be drunk that all day. On January 20th, 4 days before her murder, Alexa posted an uncharacteristically cryptic message on Facebook, an image that read, I stopped venting and started praying because I don't need sympathy, I need strength. The following day, Cutting wrote on Twitter, dreams get wilder and wilder. Maybe they were nightmares. I don't know. Alexa was from nearby Roanoke and was pursuing a degree in psychology with plans to graduate next May. Cutting lived in Jeffersonton in Northern Virginia, but also appears to have roots in Texas. Radford University has said that she is on an interim suspension, but refused to say whether the suspension resulted from the murder charge or predated it. University President Brian Hemphill sent a campus-wide email Thursday saying it's a difficult day for our campus and our community. On Friday, he sent out another email writing, Alexa was very involved on campus, was a proud member of several organizations. Like every Highlander, Alexa had a full life ahead of her, life poised to make a great impact on those she would have encountered, the career she was pursuing, and the communities in which she would have lived. The university has called in grief counselors that will be available to speak to anyone who needs them. Cutting was due to be arraigned on Friday. It was unclear whether she had an attorney speak on her behalf. The case is Radford's first murder charge in 8 years. Karen guessed the race of the killer, allegedly. What was her long ass name? It had like six names. Luisa Inez Tudela Harris Cutting.
I'm gonna go Latino, Latinx.
All right. Let's check the chat room. Latinx, white Latinx, with a friend like that, who need enemies? Latina, building a wall around this bitch. Latina, Jesus. Build, Latinx, her name is Cutting, sounds like a known it was fitting to be a problem. Latinx, Cutting remarks weren't the only sharp thing about her. Latina, they're gonna build that wall to Porter. Eat anything for Selena's. Oh, Mexican.
Oh, no.
Amanda Knox said, bitch, what's wrong? What the fuck wrong? And with you stabbing someone 30 times, white Latinx. Alexa, call me bitch again, Latina. The correct answer is she was Latinx or Latina. I don't think anyone missed that one. I mean, she was the head of the Latina Student Union or something like that. So Latino Student Union. So, you know, maybe y'all took it from the context clues or them first three names. She did look sad in her mugshot, though. Like, she couldn't believe she stabbed her, too. This is like the nightmare for the internet friendships, right? Oh, man. Having gone through this, it's so scary. And you're just like, oh, you were cool on the internet. What happened? don't stab me.
Oh, please don't.
Oh, no, I don't want to live with you. And they lived like they were best friends, all these pictures together.
Mm-hmm. You're both gorgeous.
Yeah. You know,
so the option of one of them moving out wasn't the choice?
Who knows what the fuck could have happened? And those cryptic things at the end, because, I mean, at the end of the day, you still don't expect a motherfucker to kill you.
No,
I mean,
you don't.
Yeah, we had some problems, but like, nigga, you want to go to jail for the rest of your life to prove a point? Yeah. To who?
30, 40 times? There was some anger behind that. So yeah. Something was going on in the relationship because, you know, from what I hear from the shows we be watching, how when people fuck people up that many times, everybody go, nah, this was some passion.
Yeah, and I mean, you could tell in them last couple of posts they had, the tension was so thick you could cut it with a knife.
Yeah, for my man. They both had that sharp ass tongue. They were cutting each other down to size.
Anyway, you slice those puns, very inappropriate. We should have just sat down and chopped it up.
Come on.
All right. You know what her favorite movie was?
What?
Blade. All right, let's go to the bonus round. Oops, sorry.
Double the points and the race. Double the points and the race.
That's right. Double the points, double the race in the bonus round. A guess the race so far. Karen is 2 for 2. Yes. But can she make it 3 for 3?
I'ma try.
Yep, we'll see if you can do it. I know you're willing to take a stab at it.
Yes, I am. I might be 3 for 3 no matter how you slice it up.
Sure. I'm not.
I could help myself.
Not the sharpest puns, but. We both repeated ones at the end.
Right?
All
right. Like they say, you ain't got to be the sharpest knife in the drawer to cut.
I guess. Here you go.
Even butter knives cut something, so yeah.
Okay. South Carolina teen faked his own kidnapping to get $130 from his mother.
What?
A Sumter man is accused of blackmailing his own mother after he led her to believe he would be killed if she didn't pay $130.
South Carolina, I'm assuming.
Yes, South Carolina, Sumter.
Yeah, that's in the middle of nowhere.
Emmanuel Franklin, 19, of Sumter, was arrested on January 24th, charged with blackmail. Deputies say on January 22nd, he calls his mother to believe he would be killed by his kidnappers if she did not put $130 money into a small box on Bagnell Drive. Franklin's mother told deputies
his rates are pretty low.
Yeah, that's some, I mean, I get the strategy because it's almost like at those prices, how can you not? You know, like if you kidnap somebody and like, let me get $100,000, like, oh, it take time to get that, I don't know if I got that. But if they, you kidnap somebody and say, let me get $130, like, I'll pawn something, I'll find a way to get the 130 to save my fucking son. I mean,
know your worth, sir. Know your worth.
So he might have just wanted a number that was attainable. Either that or he knew he wasn't shitting. His mom would be like, 250, keep him.
Right.
Let that motherfucker die. Don't be calling me up here after you do it either.
Don't be playing on my phone.
Franklin's mother told Debbie she received a call from her son and an unknown man from a private number January 22nd. The unknown man reportedly demanded she put $130 in the mailbox.
An unknown man. That was him changing his voice.
Or your son will be killed or hurt. Franklin reportedly later told officers he made up the story to get $130 from his mother. Guess the race of, what's his name? Emmanuel Franklin.
White.
Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room and see what you guys believe. White says Lakita. White says Trey. Ignorant Negro. Ignorant ass Negro, says Joe. Bet his nickname was Man Nigga. Black. Aww. Just another nigga doing the most to get the least. Back to in return. Black. Bird box black. Black. Needed money for those Air Force One. Black.
Oh,
damn, everybody went black after you, Karen. So let's go. The answer is Karen for all the marbles.
Okay.
And you said white, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you got it wrong. He was black. Some of you did get it right.
I thought about it, Emmanuel. Yeah, but white people, that would used to be white people named Emmanuel, so yeah, that would caught me.
Well, Emmanuel Lewis.
Yeah, black.
So I don't know. All right, let's go to Sora Ratchetness, guys. Now that Karen's blown her perfect score,
I know.
Just couldn't believe every other thing about that story said black to me. $130, yo mama. I mean, come on, guys. All right, Sora Ratchetness time.
Some other people said white too.
A Westville couple stabbed with a sword during home invasion.
Oh.
The suspects fled on foot, only taking a wallet with an unknown amount of cash. Two Westville residents in their 50s narrowly escaped a harrowing sword attack at the weekend. The couple was stabbed with a sword after two men reportedly broke into their St. George Drive home around 3:40 p.m. Saturday. Damn, broad daylight.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
Yes, right. Sir.
You really needed to like, you needed that money. According to Westville SAPS communications officer Captain Elizabeth Squires, a scuffle ensued and the husband was stabbed in the chest with the sword while the wife was stabbed in the hand. The suspects are believed to have gained entry by breaking a window. They fled on foot, only taking a wallet with an unknown amount of cash. A case of house robberies is being investigated by Westville detectives. Our detectives are working with all possible leads to arrest their suspects, added Squires. So good luck. All right, guys, that's it for today. It's time to wrap this bad boy up. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow is Balls Deep at 5:00 at night, and then Friday should be the Nerd Off about 5:00 ish. So yeah, we'll see you guys then. For premium people, everybody else, we'll see you Saturday for Feedback Show. Until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.